Good morning. Today is Friday. It's February. I just can't read my writing, and I'm too lazy to turn around. Thursday, February the 4th. Nice recovery, huh, guys? 35th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey and Brian, friend.
Brian, I'm sorry. I thought you looked at the calendar. It was right in front of you. I didn't realize you had to turn around.
Yeah, the rearview mirror thing there, dude. You're still stinging about the Speedo comment, aren't you? That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Well, you have a good memory.
No, very highly selected memory.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, bitch basically says I'm having a tough time shaking the image. Sorry. You brought in a buddy again this morning. You going to introduce her or not?
This is Selena. She's my public information officer. And she's been in that position for about 2-3 months now. So this is the person that puts out the news for the sheriff's office.
Good, bad, and indifferent? Good.
We try to do a little bit of everything.
There you go. Now, I'm going to be a nice guy once we get into the show. And not even talk about I better probably ought to make a note here about ruckus in jailhouse. And we're also going to talk about last Friday's pot meeting down in southern Humboldt. But before we do, our quote this morning comes from Thomas Fuller, quote, "Much law, but little justice."
Love it.
Yeah, isn't that right on? So often. How many new laws went into effect this year? For law enforcement? Any idea?
Lots. I don't know.
Any that you're worried about?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you know, we're very adaptable people.
I see. And the system is too, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. That's called quick recovery.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Oh, boy. So there was a little powwow. It was in Mateel?
Yes, the Mateel Center down in Redway. It was a marijuana symposium.
Oh.
3-hour long meeting.
Symposium. Mm-hmm. I suppose they defined what the symposium meant.
A meeting.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, so it was a pot meeting. I got it right the first time. Any surprises? Were there a lot of people that were there? I mean, Friday night, it seems like a goofy time to do it if you want anybody to show up.
Yeah, 4 o'clock on a Friday evening is a little tough. The 3-hour meeting. But no, there was a good amount of people there, a good smattering of the public, so to speak. And, of course, our Senator Mike McGuire was there, Assemblyman Jim Wood, and our supervisor, Estelle Fennell, along with state agencies were also represented, and county agencies as well.
Was there room for the public?
There was room for the public, yeah. You know, it was it's too bad they didn't have a bigger venue. I think they would have more people, and the parking is not as great at the Mateel to support that. But it was probably a couple hundred people there.
Regular folk,
not
government related.
Right.
Was it to share ideas, Mike, or was it to kind of share the state of where things are right now?
I think it was more to share it was to share ideas in the sense that, Department of Agriculture, Department of Consumer Affairs, Fish and Wildlife was there also. I think it was to share their take on the direction in California for the new marijuana laws regarding medicinal marijuana. And so and also they made it very clear that they wanted to return to the heart of marijuana country and come to Humboldt County and have the first symposium here.
With that as a backdrop, KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with Mike and might even hear a little bit more from Selena.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. Talk shop presented by Redeck and CDH Painting. Mike, the Friday meeting last week, what got the crowd's response?
Well, I think it was also a rally behind those that pushed to get this new legislation enacted. And so there was a lot of support for those that worked on this legislation. And it was more of a rolling out of things to come. And I believe that and there was a lot of energy there. There's a lot of enthusiasm. A lot of people got up and gave public comment at the end, which lasted for probably an hour and a half or longer. A lot of attaboys, a lot of slaps on the back, because there were people that invested a lot of time and energy into this, and there was a lot of recognition for that. A lot of recognition for both Assemblyman Wood and Senator McGuire for them pushing, you know, bringing these bills forward. And of course, a lot of information shared by those state agencies that were there.
Was it more of a recognition of accomplishment and then leaping forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, the recognition component, I think, was just a natural thing to come out of it because of where we've come from. But there was, it was a format of three different panels, the state panel, the local panel, which was I was on, and then there was actually a panel of the farmers or growers, so to speak. So we each had a...
You know, touring bags over their head?
No.
No? They weren't New Orleans Saint fans?
No.
Okay. No.
So we all had a 5 to 7 minute amount of time to talk, present our portion, how we fit into this whole scheme of things, and then it went to public comment. During the public comment, there was a little bit more back and forth than I thought there would be. It wasn't just strictly public comment, and we move on to the next one. There was response from those that wished to respond to it, either be Mr. McGuire or Mr. Wood or someone.
So if there was a question, they would be responding to it.
They would respond to it. So, it was a lot of that. And I think it was not so much an informational meeting as more of a victory circle, victory lap, you know. But I think there'll be more meetings in the future.
It is coming close to Daytona.
I know. I think it'll be more substantive in the future as things roll out. Because there's still a lot of unanswered questions. And they made it clearer. You know, we're now in the regulatory stage. We've got it passed. Now we have to learn how to regulate this. And they said it could take up to 10 years to really get it finalized.
To get case law and everything else in play. So this is going to be beyond your life. Career,
yes.
Probably beyond Hansel's too, huh?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Beyond mine.
He's not that young, man.
Beyond mine. You know, when they said 10 years, I said yes.
So as this was kind of developing and going on, were folks that were there positioning?
It was more of a positioning, I think. There was a lot of there were people that came forward that are now starting to look into ways to supplement the whole industry and to bring ideas along to help the industry along itself. You know, DNA testing on the marijuana. How
just the genetics.
Follow this. Yeah,
the genetics, the biology genetics, and stuff. Yeah.
And follow it from production to consumption. So there are a lot of people, there's entrepreneurs out there that are looking at ways to deal with that in the future.
That shouldn't be surprising.
No, I mean, it's
a normal stuff.
And you know, one thing that came out that people need to realize is this is a new industry. It is an industry. Be careful what you wish for, because there were people there that are small time, you know, that wanted it to be more family oriented, family farm. And I get that. But the problem
under the heading of medicinal.
Yes, I understand that. But the problem is this is now an industry. There are large companies looking at this, and companies that are just coming to life, looking at this as a opportunity. And
people that have stocks, that kind of business.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just game on. Is there the ability for Humboldt County to embrace those businesses, the RJRs, mm-hmm. and folks like that want to get into this, or Merck, or you know, any of your mm-hmm. pick your favorite pharmaceutical also, because I think what's been going, my sense, you know, what do I know, you know, outside looking in totally, is that you've got the mom and pop boutique-y, we're just doing it for personal consumption, hippie granola crowd, and then you've got the international crime cartels.
Yeah,
and very little in between. And it seems to me like they're trying to carve this niche in there somewhere that it really doesn't. You know, I see RJR coming in. I see the big boys coming in and taking a hold of this thing because there's the profit incentive there, and they've got the money to be able to move quickly on it, rather than some of these small folks.
Yeah, and they talked a lot about branding. You know, the Humboldt brand. And I think there is some validity to that, but I think as this thing goes along, are people going to be more worried about the brand or more worried about getting a product that is not as expensive to manufacture and look for areas that it's easier to get in and out of and to grow mass quantities? So there comes the rub. Are people going to be worried about the brand? Are they going to say, we want to only have Humboldt brand or Mendocino brand? Or are they going to be looking at saying, I can get this the same thing or something similar to it at a least expensive price because it is mass grown somewhere else?
Or it could still be Humboldt County grown, owned by RJR.
Yes.
You know, you got Columbia Coffee. Yeah. I bet you that Folgers has a piece of that action somewhere.
Well,
or Hawaiian Coffee or some of these other.
But I question whether a large industry would want to come in here to grow something in an isolated area like ours, or would they be looking at it somewhere else?
We got plenty of flat sites, I've been told, up in the hills. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. So, Selena's the PIO. Are you going to talk to him about what he said or hasn't said so far and correct him?
Eventually.
Yeah, okay, good, good, good.
Come across it.
Keep him on the beam here. So, Mike, you had a little bit of a situation shifting gears entirely back into the jail 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's been about somewhere around there.
Not an awful lot was said other than there was a situation. It was under a dozen. They got taken care of. Get back to work.
okay, pretty simplistic fine. View, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, again, my retention level is kind of limited here. Was there more to it than just somebody calling somebody a name and taking offense?
Yeah, I think there was. I was actually there that day. I had just gone over to the booking area to check into a few things. I had a number of officers down there doing their daily tasks in the booking area, and they put a call out over the radio that there's a fight in one of the dorms, and they all stormed out of there, and within about 10 minutes they were bringing people down, putting them in segregated cells down in the booking area. I went up later, and they still had a volatile situation in the sense that there was still a lot of energy running within the dorm. Most of the emotion. Yeah, most of the inmates were on their beds at the time. You know, out of the way, but we still had a few that were, you know, taking into custody to put into other areas. A lot of blood. It was apparently a number of fights broke out at the same time. When I say a number of fights, it was probably over the same issue, but there was little pockets of where it broke out. There was probably 10 or 12 people involved. A definite effort was made to shift the attention of the correctional deputy assigned to the dorm at the time. So he didn't realize it was going on until it already started. So there was some taking advantage there, and it was meant to deal with an issue. I mean, we have gang influence. We do have that component in the facility, and, you know, people jockeying for stature, so to speak. So it boiled over to the point that we had a pretty good fight there in the dorm.
So it was gang related. It wasn't necessarily race related or drugs specifically.
There was some racial issues involved too, but I think the two went hand in hand.
Is this what normally happens? Let me step back. We've talked about with the realignment,
right,
that you're getting a different breed of cat.
Right.
At the county level, or all county facilities are. Is this a symptom of that?
Yeah, this is becoming more of the norm. I mean, in the past, we would have incidences, single incidences in a dorm where two people might, emotions roll over, boil up, and they have a little outbreak of a fight between them. But to have numerous fights going on at the same time, it's becoming more and more common than it was in the past. And I think that's an influence from the type of inmate we now have in the correctional facility.
So even though the jail is relatively new, is it designed for the population that you have now?
No. You'll find very few of the county jails, except for maybe L.A., are designed for the type of person we have. Now, you got to remember, L.A. County, they themselves house about 18,000 inmates in the county system, just in L.A. County.
So they got their own little town.
Yeah, they have their own little town. One of the largest correctional facilities in the country.
So if you could redesign, how significantly different would it be? Or are you talking about little nuances on the edges?
Yeah, I think the concept we use now, which would be the open dorm, direct contact type of a method, I think it works really well for general population. And again, we go through a classification process to make sure they belong in that type of a setting.
This is like the drunk driver, the pickpocket.
But we do have people higher risk, but we have to weigh that with the space available and what we have. And what I would probably do if I was to redesign it or to add onto it, and we are adding onto it, by the way, but it's a different format, I would probably have more segregated cells so that we could peel off those people that don't belong in double cells, or be able to have a place to put people when there is a situation like this and give them a cooling off period. I think I'd like to see more single cells for that type of thing. But the direct supervision component is really the way to go. You have one officer who's supervising these folks, and most of them are there just to work off some time, and they know they're going to be there for a short period of time, and they follow the rules.
So do they get sucked up in these kinds of activities?
Well, I think to a certain point, there's a culture that develops. Some of them may get sucked into it, or they already have the propensity for that, and it's easy for them to get caught up in that type of thing.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to talk shop this morning with the sheriff and his PIO. Ooh. So, Selena, where'd you come from?
Most recently, New York City. Prior to that, the Bay Area and San Francisco.
Oh, so you like travel, eh?
I do, but only on the coasts.
I see, an anti-Midwester. How'd she make it through the screening process, Mike?
I don't know.
There were a lot of questions.
Yeah, what's wrong with Kansas was one of them. So what's been the most intriguing part of the job so far?
Working with the media, definitely, and trying to get information out to them, because we're both working together to get information out and trying to streamline that.
No, you would say stranglehold that. That would be okay, too. Mike, having somebody to help getting the information out, is that – I know that there's almost a fiduciary responsibility as part of being in law enforcement for that. Is this also a reaction to some of the social media and some of the goofy stuff that goes out there that you need to either stomp on it quick or redirect it or clarify or clean it up or at least help them get it right?
Yeah, social media has really blossomed, so to speak, in the last few years. And you'll notice that Selena is much younger than me. and she's used to.
I think we would say that with the majority of the people in the room,
too. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that's... But anyway, I mean, it's indicative of being able to work in that world, in that reality of the social media. Having a public information officer, I think, is pretty crucial, pretty vital. We bannered back and forth as to what we wanted that to look like. And again, she is a spokesperson for the sheriff. She is a community services officer for the sheriff's office, and her main duties are as a PIO. So that's why she wears a uniform, because she will speak for me on numerous issues. And as time goes by, there'll be more and more responsibility given to her along those lines. And, you know, you get to an office our size, we need to have a single point of contact for that type of thing and get out concise, consistent information. And I think that's what we have. You know, we did have a PIO years ago. Brenda was our PIO for a number of years. Brenda did an excellent job. And I hope to replicate that type of thing where we get that information out, have those relationships with the news media to be able to be really transparent.
So how has the news media been?
I think they've been pretty understanding. I mean, knowing that someone new has come in and most of the time working well with me.
Oh, I see. You've already scored some points then.
I hope so.
A couple battle scars too.
Yes.
That all works out. Mike, how do you balance that? Okay, we can talk about it, but here's how we want to couch it. Or sure, let them all know. Or no, nope, we're not talking about that right now. How do you make those determinations?
Well, it depends on the sensitivity of the issue. It depends on what we can legally release. Or not.
Well, that's
released.
A black and white, I would
say. Yeah, that's a black and white. But also, it depends on the sensitivity issue for the community. You know, does some of this information need to get out? Are there things that would be more injurious to put out than others? And do we want to jeopardize an investigation by putting out too much information? So all that has to be weighed and talked about. And, you know, most of the general... news releases we put out, you know, Selena does those on her own, and we get a chance to look at them. But if we have something more intricate, something that has, you know, would require more information or more sensitive information, we discuss it and decide what we do and do not want to put out.
So how do you sensitize somebody who's been from the big city? Where, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we have, it's not new, it's not different, it's not weird, it's just weird that it's here. You know, in a small community like ours, to say, no, this is a biggie for our community. This one's a biggie. It's not a normal. How do you let her know how to handle and what to anticipate from the community?
Well, you know, a lot of that has to do with the relationship between my undersheriff and I, because we both are points of contact for her, along with some of our lieutenants and our captains. But so we have to... first of all, be very consistent with what we put out to Selena, and she understands that, and she knows what we can and can't talk about, and what things are prudent and not prudent. So it's just being able to have a real clear relationship as far as knowing what each other expectations are, and I think we're doing very well there.
That was prudent, not prunes.
Right.
Did you say, okay.
Did I say prunes?
Well, you know, getting back to that age thing there, we're just kind of working on it.
Now.
Yeah. Keep it between the lines. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thank you.
We've been talking shop this morning with Mike Downey and a little bit from Selena. Maybe next time we'll get her to talk a little bit more. See you tomorrow morning.